Welcome back to the third hour of the KFPK Outdoor Show. Bob Sims here, Saturdays 5 to 8. For in 2 weeks, 30 years. Yeah. On KFPK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. We have just been waiting for steelhead to come in to the North Coast rivers. A lot of people from the valley. It's an annual trip. They go up and go on a drift boat trip and, you know, mostly the Smith or the Chetco River in southern Oregon, but they also, you know, they fish the Mad River. They take drift trips on the Eel River, both the South Fork and the Mainstream, the whole works. They can be loaded with steelhead, just absolutely loaded. And this year it hasn't been the case. So, you know, we're saying, well, what's going on? Well, finally we got some storms. Here it is, mid-January. And while we really don't have a lot of rivers to choose from because the rivers are still blown out a little bit from the storms, we do have one. And I talked to Kenny Priest last night about the situation on the North Coast. Kenny, this was the first day that the Smith was driftable after a couple of storms. Fishable before this for the plunkers, but driftable, and you got out there. How was it?
It was good. I mean, the river was in beautiful shape. You know, a little bit pushy, but not bad at all. I mean, definitely doable. There was quite a few boats around, which I was a little bit surprised to see. But there seemed to be a lot of fish around. So, you know, we hooked three, landed one on one pass. And then I saw quite a few fish caught by some of the other guys. I heard one of the guys got five.
So, wow, that's a heck of a day.
Yeah, so, and that was on his first pass. So, so that was...
Too bad those days don't come a little more often, huh?
You know, I'm really encouraged about what I'm seeing on the Smith. I mean, it seems, you know, it's been kind of a bummer the last few years. It just, you know, just never really got into gear. And,
yeah.
But, you know, from what I saw yesterday from the boats that were plunking and from the number of fish that I saw or heard about that were caught today, you know, I'm encouraged for sure.
Now, the Chetco is usually part of this conversation, but we know there's been a couple of new slides up there that have kept the river muddy. Any change in that situation?
Well, it did change because I know some boats fished the upper half today. Some of the guys who have permits to fish that upper section from the South Fork down. And I haven't heard any scores yet, but it was definitely fishable water. I saw the color of the water looked really good. It was definitely a little bit on the high side, but I think just that upper end was fishable.
Yeah, just to clarify things, when you say permit, that's a permit to drift a river, not just to fish it, right?
That has a permit to guide up there.
Okay, so I got it. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Anybody could go up there and fish it from the South Fork down, but if you're going to guide there, you have to have a special permit.
Okay, but if you have your own drift boat, that doesn't apply to you?
It does. Yeah, so if you're a guide and you have a drift
boat. No, but if you're not a guide and you have your own drift boat,
then you're fine. Then you could fish it.
Okay, I see.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and so that was fishable, and the results were?
You know, I haven't heard yet. It's still a little bit early. I doubt if a lot of boats went there today. I know of at least a handful, and I haven't talked to them yet. Just by looking at the number of boats on the Smith, I would say not many were on the Chetco.
Yeah.
You know, so I was pleasantly surprised when I pulled up to the ramp or to the forks this morning and saw all the trailers. So I don't know where they're coming from.
Well, you know, we keep waiting and waiting, and now it's past the middle of January, and we're still waiting for our first big push of steelhead, even though all the rivers have some fish in them. You sent me a picture that you caught a beautiful steelhead. It looked like to me, Kenny, it was a 15-pounder, a beautiful big male steelhead on the South Fork of the Eel, and that was just, what, last weekend?
That was on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, what a beautiful fish. So there's scattered fish around. It's just not in the numbers we're used to for the middle of January.
Yeah, and I would say that about the other rivers, but after what I saw today on the Smith, I'm pretty encouraged about that.
Yeah.
It didn't look like there was a fish here and a fish there. It looked like there was some good solid numbers, you know, pretty much from the forks all the way down.
It sounds like it. I mean, you had three hookups on your first drift. Somebody else caught five, so that shows numbers there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What about the Mad River? What kind of shape is that in?
It's not in good shape. I crossed it a little while ago, and it doesn't look good. It looks like chocolate milk.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So that's going to be a while, and I'm sure you could say the same thing about the main stem of the eel for sure, and probably the South Fork. Although the South Fork didn't go that high, so I know we have rain tomorrow, and I think there's a little bit on Monday and Tuesday. So that one could potentially come into play by the end of next week. That's kind of what I'm looking at.
Okay. That would be more than enough time for those rivers to fill up with fish.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, the eel has just been, you know, there's one here, there's one there, and, you know, you get a couple chances a day, and you pick one off at, you know, on a really good spot, but, you know, there's so much good water that's not holding fish. So hopefully, you know, this is going to do it.
That's Kenny Priest. And, of course, he lives and breathes that up there. He loves it. And at least it's starting. And then, you know, I also talked to Mario Gomez, who, you know, lives in Happy Camp. But he goes over to the Smith this time of year. And while he did not fish the Smith yesterday, he heard from different people that it was a pretty good day there. So he and Kenny's report coincide. So I'm expecting today's going to be, I think it's going to be a good day, but I think there's going to be an awful lot of boats on the Smith River. And that's sometimes you just get too many boats. And, you know, it shuts fishing down. Those fish move. You know, they could be hanging in a nice run 4 or 5 feet of water. And then, you know, you get a bunch of boats, and then they move. And they may move over to 2 feet of water or down into 15 feet of water. You don't know. Maybe the Chetco will be fishable today. If it's fishable, I would expect good things, especially in the upper reaches there. I mean, those slides on the Chetco are a problem, but I don't think they're as bad as the one on the South Fork of the Smith a few years ago that just kept the river muddy for several years every time a little rain came. I don't think it's quite that bad. First of all, let me give you Kenny's number. It's 707-496-8671. I did talk. I said, you hooked three fish. I says, was there operator error? Well, he doesn't want to criticize his clients, but they were brand new steelhead fish. You hook a steelhead for the first time, and if the guide tells you it will calm down, it's just a wasted statement. You can't calm down. You cannot calm down. That's all there is to it. It's too exciting, and so people lose fish. So, anyway, Kenny's a good fisherman. He writes, Fishing the North Coast. You can see it every Thursday, fishingthenorthcoast.com. Anyway, I talked to Mario, and he said the Klamath River, even with the rains, didn't blow out, but he hasn't been guiding. He knows the river's got fish in it, but there's a foot of snow at Happy Camp. Now, Happy Camp is not that high in elevation, if I'm not mistaken. It's, I think, 800 feet above sea level, but it gets cold up there, and so he was telling me the next time it rains, we're going to get a little runoff. We'll bring the river up a little bit, and he says, you better be on the river if it's clearing, because there's going to be a ton of fish there. And people just don't fish the Klamath. They want to go over to the Smith, but the Klamath often offers the best steelhead fishing. So let's see. after the break, we're going to talk to Don Paganelli, who's out at the show, but also fished the Delta this last week. But right now, I want to tell you about the Adventure Sports display out at the ISE show today and tomorrow. They've got 50 boats, 50 kayaks out at the show. And, you know, they're not out there to sell at the same price as they sell in their store on Auburn Boulevard. So keep that in mind. Plus, the shows are the only place they're allowed to put Hobie kayaks on sale. And there's incentives and there's different sales going on, too numerous to tell. But one of them is if you buy a couple different models of Old Town kayak, the Topwater with pedals, or the Predator MK with the Minn Kota motor, you get a Hummingbird Helix 5 sonar GPS with down imaging. That's a $350 value if you buy one of those two Old Towns. Now, there's so many other boats. I mentioned earlier, you got to check the Hobie 360. You know, as you're pedaling your Hobie, here's a handle to your left. You can turn 180, and all of a sudden you're headed toward the shoreline. Now your boat hasn't turned, but you're heading away from the shoreline. That is an amazing accessory for fishermen. You can hold in one spot depending on, no matter if there's a breeze or not. Just ask them about it, okay? Anyway, they have these packages available. It's a great display. Have some fun walking through it because you'll see what kayaks really have to offer there. All different colors, all kinds of different accessories, and all with an added value at the show between the pavilion and Building C outside. That's Adventure Sports. Well, one of the most popular venues at the sports show every year is the Kids Fair, and they keep coming up with new stuff, and they're introducing kids to the outdoors in the right way. And this year, the same guy that you'll run into out at all the Fishing in the City programs is going to be at the Kids Fair, and that's Don Paganelli, and I think they're going to have a fish tank with fish in it. The kids can catch fish and take, I think, one home. Let's check with Don. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
So,
they're not allowing the kids to take fish home.
Okay. Well, last week you weren't sure about that. It's catch and release. So that's another good thing they can learn.
Oh yeah, and they're allowing them to catch more than one fish. So they catch one fish, they're not just saying, "Okay, you're done." I mean, they're kids that have been on the tank, catching a couple of fish here and there, and they stuck a couple of really big ones in there just for, the kid hooks onto it, and you'll hear a lot of screaming going on around the tank.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. They've been having a lot of fun. Last night, when it opened at 3 o'clock, of course, that the kids were just running right straight for the tank and having a ball. Catching lots of fish and so the bite should still be pretty good. It's been cold, which is good. You know, that cold
weather. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
those fish active. I've got my big tank there on the side with some of the bigger rainbow trout in there. I've got them up to 8 pounds. I've got a few. I think I've got a total of 12 rainbows in there, and the smallest one I think is 3 pounds. So there's a pretty good display, and they want to run over with a fishing pole and try those.
Yeah, right.
And then we've got, there's so many things going on right there for the kids. They've got archery, they've got the shooting sports, they've got several shooting sports going on over there for training and education, and then they've got there's a bass club in there with the kids doing they're teaching them how to flip, and they've got like a little game out there going. Mm-hmm. And we have Fishing in the City where we're casting with the kids, and we've got our new schedules for our Fishing in the City events coming up like next weekend and in February. So they can tie flies. They've got fly tying going on. It's a great place to get the kids super interested in the outdoors at this venue.
I mean, it sounds like there's a whole lot of different things. That's the key, I think.
Oh yeah, and they're running from one building to the other, and they'll rotate. It's almost like the parents can't get them out of there. So, which is good. I mean, and some people that come just for the youth fair,
yeah,
because the parents, they'll they'll go spend a little bit of time at the rest of the show, but most of it is they'll keep their kids there at the youth fair most of the day. And they have, like I said, they have lots of activities, continuous, and they can rotate through it. So it's not like a one-time thing. They can keep coming back and going through the same things again, you know, the archery, and they've got, like I said, several different shooting sports going on with BB guns and through NRA training and the rest of that. So it's pretty nice. It's a pretty nice venue that they keep going.
Yeah, you know, they don't have, in years past, they brought the fish tank in and then they haven't, and they brought it, and I don't know if it's just the people that maintain it or acquire it, or, but it's a winner.
Oh, it is. And, well, 1 year they had an issue with a brand new liner that they brought in with the tank, and
yeah,
they had to shut it down because there was some kind of chemical or something coming off of the tank, and the fish weren't going to survive. So they had, that was one of those bad years. And then we had another year where the water was overchlorinated because it's well water, and they chlorinate the water as it comes into Cal Expo. And 1 year it was extremely bad with the chlorination. Mm-hmm. So we've had a couple of down years on the tank, but it wasn't because of the tank. Well, 1 year it was because of the tank, but yeah, trust me, when that 1 year that I came in and there was no tank, I'll tell you what, there was a lot of disappointed kids.
I'll bet. You're lucky to get out with your life, right?
Oh my God. It was like the only thing they came to see.
Well, I guess we should remind parents that if they bring their kids out there, because they can't keep the fish, bring a camera and be quick with it.
Oh, and there's lots of that. Everybody's got a cell phone now, so they're, and they let the parents come in, you know, with the kids, so they can stand right there when the kids are fishing and get pictures and stuff like that. So that's been really good. There's a rock climbing wall right there too, so that,
yeah.
The Boy Scouts are running the rock climbing wall, as well as the Boy Scouts have a building also,
yeah,
where they can go in and see what the Boy Scouts have to offer. So that's also nice.
Yeah. Hey, listen, before we run out of time, I want to ask you, I know last week you were fishing, you went down to the Delta, and you were going to do some plugging for bass along stripers along the West Bank. How did that turn out?
We ended up with about 12 fish, up to close to 8 pounds. And when we got there, the tide was outgoing. We didn't get a lot of bites on the outgoing tide, caught just a couple of fish, actually caught two squaw fish fishing for stripers, on the fish traps. But, then when that tide turned on the incoming, that bite seemed to really pick up, and those fish really, shallow is not the word. We were catching them, from the bank out to about 4 feet.
Yeah.
So the fish stayed pretty shallow, and we were throwing either S wavers or just regular fish trap swim baits,
uh-huh,
and catching them that way. But we,
it sounds like you were using, sounds like you might have been using the smaller fish traps in that shallower water, huh?
Half ounce head, and okay. The bodies are about 5 inches.
Okay, so that's
6 inch bodies.
I was thinking smaller than that. So as I'm glad we clarified that. So that's a pretty standard fish trap, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, and you had to feel it bump. There's like in some of the areas there's like a little rock jetty that comes out just off the bank. And you'd feel it bump those rocks, and as soon as you felt it bump those rocks, you had to be ready, because it's almost like those fish were right up as tight as they could get, in some of those areas.
I'll tell you one thing, Don. Everybody down there right now would love to have a day where they caught 12 fish, and anybody would love to catch an 8-pounder.
Well, and those schools move in and out so quickly. Like I said, we went down quite a bit of bank. We covered a lot of water and made a lot of casts. So it's not just one spot that was producing.
Yeah.
We just kind of covered a lot of it. And we'd catch a couple fish on a spot, and we'd sit there and make multiple casts, you know, to see if there was any kind of a school moving in or anything like that before we moved on. But we never really got into an area that had you know, more than two or three fish on it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's hit or miss for sure. This cold weather didn't do any good. Hey, before we go also, you're going to be there both today and tomorrow, Don, at the youth fair?
Yes, I'll be there both days.
Okay.
At the youth fair.
Okay.
So come out and say hi.
Thank you, Don.
All right. Thanks,
Bob.
See
you later. Don Paganelli, you want to book a trip? Here's the number, 916-502-3474. When we come back, Denny Rickards. Welcome back. Welcome back. We can't get a hold of Denny Rickards right now, but what we're going to do is I told you we would have a report on Comanche, and of course for that, I talked to Robbie Dunham last night. Robbie, you just got out once this week at Comanche. Has anything changed over the weeks? I know we had a little, we've had some weather systems come and go. The fish have been hanging 8 to 10 feet. Is there any difference in that?
No, not at this time, Bob. Everything seems to still be in that top 8 feet. I know we had a few days last week with that full moon, and it really slowed the bite down. So, and with the weather changing in and out, it was a little tough there for a little while.
You just got to put in your time, right?
Yeah, you have to put in your time. The biggest thing is to try different locations on the lake. I know the Narrows have been really getting beat up. A week ago Wednesday, we had 22 boats in the Narrows, and I had to get out of there because it just killed the bite. We actually went out around Big Hat Island in the dam and picked up our fish out there.
You know, it just boggles my mind why people go out on a lake that big and all want to fish within 30 feet of each other.
Yeah, it's not a good idea, especially with the fish in the top 8 feet. So much boat noise and shadows and a lot of activity going on. I try and stay away from the fleet when it's a lot more traffic like that.
Well, it just makes, I mean, first of all, you know better than anybody, those fish are spread out all over the lake. And, I mean, if they just put some effort into any place all over the lake, they'd catch some fish.
That is very true, Bob.
Yeah.
That Big Hat Island, the causeway, that area over there typically holds a lot of fish. A lot of people fish that. I've actually gone around circles around Little Hat and picked up trout over there and along the buoy line. So they can move around. The nice thing about the Speedy Shiners that, you know, at 3 miles an hour, you can cover quite a bit of ground even out there in the main lake. So it's a nice lure.
Well, you know, also, a lot of times, don't you think that these fish hang on these flats, like just before you get to Big Hat on the right, there's that big flat on your right, and fish get up on there because there's the Rabbit Creek Channel, and then the main river channel, and then this big flooded flat, and the same thing by Little Hat, just between that and the spillway.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You don't have to be over the river channel at this time of the year now. You can be anywhere, and especially along out in open water. You don't have to be hugging the bank. I've caught a lot of fish right smack out in the middle. One of my best runs is from Big Hat to Little Hat, just going back and forth in deep water. And then sometimes I'll swing into the causeway where it's a little shallower and pick up fish over there.
That's Robbie Dunham of Coke Machine Guide Service. Now, he said he's been using grubs, and, hey, you're using grubs, and you're not using, you don't need a downrig, you don't even need lead core line. You get these little trolling sinkers, and, you know, you're trolling grubs a lot slower. So, you know, you may need a quarter ounce or 3/8 of an ounce, maybe a half an ounce at the most. And you're trolling slow, and that's getting it down around 8 feet or so. But the fish, the white grub and the clown grub are the two best grubs, but they just don't commit. They're fooling around with them. It's hard to coax them, you know, like give them a little line, or that doesn't seem to work like it has in years past. But you're still catching fish till about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Then you go to the Speedy Shiners, okay? Robbie's number to book a trip on Comanche. You want to learn that lake? You go with him. It's just that simple. 209-712-6611. If you don't go with him, stay away from all the boats in the Narrows. You will catch more fish that way. Okay, I talked to Andy Giebord at Keeney's Fly Shop. Are there any steelhead in the American? Andy, it's a discouraging thing to sit back and have the American River open for 2 weeks and nobody getting excited about the steelhead fishing. Are we getting any signs of things maybe picking up a little?
Well, finally, from our customers the last 2 days, we started to get some more reports. It certainly isn't gangbusters, but at least it's not as stale as it was the previous two.
Yeah. Any report of more than one or two fish is a good report at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our guides were going out. They're hooking fish every time they go out, but they're just not getting any, big numbers. But, you know, since that sun came through, who knows? Tomorrow could be the day to be out there, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you... I mean, those storms do something to steelhead like no other fish, and so the big unknown is still there. You got to go find out.
Yeah, one of our customers works at Fishing Game, and he said over the last couple of days there was seemed to be a push of fish that came up to the hatchery. So, again, part of the difficulty is that those fish just fly upriver. But it's good to know that the hatchery saw some fresh fish.
Yeah.
Whether or not we did, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we sit here and talk about what it takes as a storm. So as the storm comes in, what we got to do is go fishing, but we sit in front of the fire and wait till it's over and find out all these fish went into the hatchery.
Right. So that's good to hear that the hatchery got some fish.
Yeah.
So we just have to go out and put our time in and just work for them. That's what we have to do. So
I guess it's more indicator fishing than it would be swinging right now, you think?
I talked to a number of people who are catching fish swinging, but mostly it has been under the indicator, and mostly it has been from, sunrise to Sailor Bar, and mostly from upper sunrise to Sailor Bar, where most of the reports are coming, though one of our guys hooked and lost a really big fish down in the River Bend area.
That's good.
Yeah, it was a big fish. They had it on for a little while, and then they lost it. But in that area down there, they were mostly catching smaller steelhead, whereas it really seemed, the bigger fish were just shooting up to the hatchery.
That's Andy Giebord at Keeney's Fly Shop, so that's good news. At least a few fish are starting to bite. Keeney's Fly Shop, the number 916-483-1222. I don't know if you saw it, but a couple nights ago I was watching Channel 3 News and they had that story of those five mountain lions up in Pioneer in that neighborhood, and the little snow up there, and the shot, it was obviously a family group, but there was still five grown mountain lions, and the comment was, cool. Well, it is cool, except that's the smallest part of the story. I mean, I'd love to see that. But here's the story is, how'd you like your kid walking down the street with five mountain lions? What do you think they're doing there? They're hungry. I mean, there's got to be a different attitude taken toward mountain lions. I mean, yeah, they're wonderful animals, but they're dangerous. Now, here's another one. Last Saturday, just before dark, in Gold River, and this isn't by the river. This is a little wildlife corridor hiking trail between two rows of houses. Somebody all of a sudden confronted a mountain lion. There it is right in front of him, a full-grown mountain lion. He was very hesitant. He was scared to death. And said, this thing is as big as I am. And finally backed out of there and got out of there. So Monday, he called the Department of Fish and Wildlife and filled out a report and everything, because this is not, like I say, along the river. This is a corridor between houses. The mountain lion was standing like a foot from a fence from a backyard, which he could have easily jumped over. Now, where's the press release on this to alert people that there could be a danger? We all know that the mountain lions can go through that area, but there's one right a foot from your backyard, and you don't alert people. This is where kids walk home from school. At least make them unaware that there's a lion in the neighborhood. That's very irresponsible, and it comes back to one guy, and that's the director, Chuck Bonham, who doesn't like to put out bad news. Now, when you go out to Cal Expo and you see the Fish and Wildlife booth, those are the good guys. Don't give those people any crap about what their boss does. It's like night and day. These are the people that keep the department running, the wardens, the biologists. They'll do anything they can to help you. They're devoted. They're good people. Don't ask them questions about, you know. I mean, it's just a waste of time, because you don't want to force anybody to lie. That's all. I mean, they're there to help you for a good reason, so don't judge them by who they work for. Okay, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Welcome back. You know, the fish of a lifetime is different to different people. But I'll tell you one thing. Some of the biggest fish of the species are located 3 hours away from us, 3.5 hours, and that's Pyramid Lake. And I talked to Doug Willett of Pyramid Lake Guide Service last night about what's going on with those great big cutthroat trout. Doug, you sure got your kind of weather the last week up at Pyramid Lake. A few storm fronts come through. I know it gets windy. That improves the fishing. Did all that come true?
Well, it did. We did have a storm come in, Bob, and it was a good one. It's tough conditions out there to fish. But with that, you know, sometimes comes a good grab. Yeah, we got some real nice fish right before the storm and during the storm.
So you just got to dress for it, rig for it, and go do it.
Yeah, you just got to get out there and fish, you know. Sometimes it doesn't come easy, but it's worth the trophy. Big fish.
How yeah. big?
Well, yesterday we got two fish, double digits, 13-pound fish and about 11.5-pound fish.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple days before that, I got four fish, and they were all good ones. But you never know, because you have to put in your time.
Yeah.
And it's cold.
Yeah.
You have to work for it.
Are you still using the combination of that cotton liner and that rubber glove over the cotton liner?
Yeah, that's the traditional pyramid setup, the cotton liner, like you say. And then like a vinyl rubber glove over the top of it, and it keeps things dry and warm.
And then you get those at Harbor Freight, is it?
Yeah, good memory. Harbor Freight, and you can go to Home Depot, Lowe's. Any of those places will have the same type of products.
Okay.
One thing about handling fish, they're real hard to handle with those the rubber gloves. So I usually take the gloves off, and I'm not a glove guy per se, but for a lot of people, most people need gloves, and that's a great combo.
Yeah, well, you can fish until you hook a fish, and then you take the glove off, and you're not going to notice anyway if you got a 13-pound trout on.
If you catch the fish, you leave the gloves on, and then your buddy has to net the fish, and he has to take his gloves off.
So there you go.
Your buddy takes your picture, yeah, and he handles your fish.
Is the bite still happening in the afternoon, the second the sun gets behind the hill?
Yeah. And with the storms and the darker skies, we've been getting a couple of grabs during the day, like around noon or so, 1 o'clock. We got a nice one at 1 o'clock, for instance, but not a lot of grabs, Bob. You know, you have to work to get it. You're going to get maybe one, two, maybe three chances from about 1 o'clock to sunset. They're all going to be good fish, and you got to take advantage of your chances.
And what fly has been working the best? What single fly?
Well, you probably know.
Yeah.
The popcorn beetle continues to end up in their mouth. So they still grab that thing pretty good. We do the same combinations with the popcorn beetle in front. As the water's colder now, we move the beetle up closer to the shooting head. So about 3 feet away is the first fly. And then about 4 feet behind the first fly, 7 feet total, is usually a darker fly, like a midnight cowboy.
Okay, which sinks to the bottom.
The line takes both flies down. The woolly buggers will sink, but not at a fast rate. So it's your shooting head line that brings everything down to the bottom where you want to start fishing, and then you're going to work up towards you.
But then the popcorn beetle is going to float just above the bottom on that leader. And that's the way it is. And the way to do that is go to the website, Pyramid Lake Guide Service, and go across the top and say, where it says Pyramid Lake Flies, put the cursor on that and scroll down to where it says Fly Fishing Techniques. Then scroll down, and at the bottom on the left-hand side, you'll see the exact setup. Because the popcorn beetle does float. Very cool setup. Anyway, Doug's number to book a trip, 775-722-2267. Okay, big fish over there. Hey, out at the show, go by and see Richie Hyde at Paulina Peak. I saw him the other day. He's got a brand new Dodger that everybody is really talking about. You heard James Netzel of Tightlines Guide Service talk about it last week. James is at the show. Paulina Peak also has a new shrimp hoochie. That's going to be a hot one. Happy Hookers there. Chris and Jonathan Smith are there. Stop by and see them. They're out of Berkeley Marina. Water for Fish. See Dick Poole about trying to get this salmon diversion water stopped. You know the drill. Have a good week, everyone.